Greetings, Quality News readers, and welcome to the May edition of Quality News, May edition 1. As you know, we're now looking at 2 editions per month because we're working through my 10 characteristics of an effective quality system, reflecting on why this common sense isn't really common practice. And in March, we started with an effective quality system defines the purpose of the system with consumers and staff as clear practical goals for a quality point of care experience. And we've been exploring the various characteristics that fit under that section. And now we're moving to section 2, which is an effective quality system supports the people. And the first characteristic here is the system should focus the organisation on achieving high quality point of care and service interactions between consumers and staff as a strategic and operational priority. And priority is the key word here. So what I know for almost sure about this is, and as you know, I'm doing my what I know for almost sure reflections this year, looking back over really 3 decades of working in quality and clinical governance and trying to make sense of it all. So I know for almost sure for this edition of Quality News that I hear a lot that quality point of care interactions between consumers and staff are our strategic and operational priority. I hear that from many, many organisations on an almost weekly basis, I could probably say. And it sounds good, doesn't it? Everyone in human services says how person-centred they are, and mostly the intent to have that focus does exist. But then there's a Royal Commission here and a public inquiry there and a poor accreditation result somewhere else. And lots of quality data and consumer feedback continuously telling us that we've got work to do to truly prioritise point of care. So, what's the disconnect? Well, from my perspective, living and observing this for many years, there's 4 key reasons that point of care and service quality is not a strategic and operational priority in enough human service organisations. Number 1, there's some specific knowledge and skills required to do this that people just don't have. It's the don't know what we don't know, and even if we did, we don't know how problem. Number 2, we assume it's just happening. As humans, we're naturally positively biased towards the things we construct. It's called the IKEA bias, which means, well, we had a hand in making this, so it must be good. So we think we're creating something great at point of care because, well, we're us. What else would we be doing? Number 3, a great point of care experience hasn't been clearly defined, and it's tricky to make something a priority that isn't concrete. And number 4, there are a lot of distractions in human services, as I'm sure you all are well aware, and it's really easy to get caught up in budgets and external requirements and putting out internal bushfires and forget that point of care quality takes constant vigilance and focus. How do I know it? Well, this one's easy. If point of care and service quality were a true strategic and operational priority in most human services, I would be out of a job. And number 3, what you can do. Well, give your organisation something concrete to prioritise. Do the work of defining a great care experience that will define your priorities and ultimately your organisation. Learn what it takes to create consistent point of care greatness in complex human services. It is not set and forget. Agree what strategic and operational focus means in practice, as a board and executive, or perhaps if you're a manager, with your staff. It should include setting aspirational yet concrete goals for a great care experience to strive for, and the operational perspective, which is that daily focus on the mindset, systems, and behaviours required to make those strategic goals a reality. And then embed these goals in every aspect of your decision-making. Planning, business cases, presentations, proposals, reporting, meeting agendas. If a decision doesn't progress at least one of the great care goals, it's not a priority. Now, this takes discipline and a fair bit of wrangling to truly prioritise the point of care experience. Harder than it looks, harder than it probably should be. But stick with it. The clarity and momentum you'll start to see will be really well worth it. So let's move on to the second part of May number two, which is what I know for almost sure about effective quality professionals. And this edition, it is about a successful quality professional having a mental map of the quality and clinical governance path. A great quality professional knows the destination for all the quality and clinical governance activity and never wavers from moving towards it. They are the keepers of quality meaning and sense making. They have a mental map of the quality and clinical governance journey in their heads so that when their organisation or their colleagues stray and get lost somewhere off the path, they can lead them back, explain the current location, and give good directions for the next phase of the journey to the destination. This means they've done the work to develop their understanding. It doesn't just happen by magic. So that then they can clarify it for others. Getting to know and follow this map takes focus and determination. It's no mean feat to get your head around the various routes, to help your organisation to clear the jargon boulders in the road, to navigate the difficult terrain and to move towards the destination, despite some others wanting to explore other paths. The quality professionals who do this are truly at the top of their game. So that's quality news number one for May, and I look forward to talking to you again for May number two in a couple of weeks. Until then, stay on that quality journey.